you in a time where there's an element of confusion that's sweeping across this world. But we want to give God thanks this morning that the truth is revealed to us, and those who are in his kingdom are not confused. Our heads and our eyes are looking up because our redemption draweth nigh. It is very near, very near, nearer than when we first believe. His coming is very near. This morning, I would love for us to turn to the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 13. The Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 13. And we will Jesus, he begins in St. Luke, chapter 13, Luke's account, beginning at verse 20. He gives a simple parable about the kingdom of God and what it is like. He said, it is like the yeast a woman used in making bread. An insignificant portion. Even though she put only a little yeast in 3 measures of flour, it permeated every part of the dough. That's the power of the kingdom. You don't see it. It's not a kingdom as we know it in human terms. This is not a democracy. You don't vote in God's kingdom or select who you want to be a part of it. The Lord knows who belong to him. And he says, when my kingdom is coming, you won't even see it happening. It's going to spread and you won't even notice that it's happening. And he went on in verse 22, Luke writes to us that Jesus went through the towns and villages teaching as he went, always pressing on toward Jerusalem. He's got something to say to Jerusalem. And he is moving along the small towns and villages and teaching, preaching. And the message of Jesus was a message of repentance. Bible said that he began teaching and preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. He said, someone asked him, Lord, will only a few be saved? Will only a few be saved? Bible said, he replied, work hard to enter the narrow door to God's kingdom. For many will try to enter, but will fail. I just look in this individual who approached Jesus, must have heard his various warnings that he issued to the people. And as he watched the crowd's response to Jesus, he came to Jesus with a concern. Lord, will only a few be saved? What is the number like that will enter your kingdom? Is it only a few? Jesus responded, he said, work hard to enter the narrow door to God's kingdom. For many will try to enter, but will fail. Tell somebody, it's a narrow door. It's a narrow gate. And you have to work. You have to strive to enter. Jesus tells us that there's quite a number of people who will attempt to go through that gate. But fewer than expected will enter. For there's no automatic entry. In the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 7 verse 13 tells us you can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. One way, and that's through the narrow gate. Jesus said, the highway to hell is broad. It's a broad road. It's a highway. Many lanes. And its gate is wide for the many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow and the road is difficult. Tell somebody, Christianity, the call to the kingdom, entrance into the kingdom of God is difficult. It is difficult. And only a few ever find it. Back to the Gospel of Luke. Verse 25 tells us, when the master of the house has locked the door, it will be too late. In other words, there's an opportunity to enter. And there will be a time when that opportunity will cease. For when the master of the house has locked the door, it will be too late. So Jesus did not answer the man's question. He simply told him, work hard to enter the narrow door to God's kingdom. For many will try to enter, but will fail. The book of Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 1. It explains that the idea is not to work one's way to God, but to labor hard at listening and responding to his message. Proverbs 2 verse 1 tells us, my child, listen to what I say. If any man is going to enter the kingdom of God, he's got to hear what Jesus is saying. Because in this time, he's not speaking to us by the prophets, but now he speaks to us through his son, Jesus Christ. What he has to say is the final word from heaven. He said, my child, listen to what I say and treasure my commands. Tune your ears to wisdom and concentrate on understanding. Cry out for insight and ask for understanding. Strive. Work hard. Search for them as you would for silver. Seek them like hidden treasures. Then you will understand what it means to fear the Lord. And you will gain knowledge of God. You will know him. You will have an experience with him. I asked a question in the beginning, the opening of this message. As we reflect on our own lives, would you consider yourself as a person who knows Jesus? One who has a relationship with him? Or are you just simply familiar with Jesus? Do you know him? Bible said, when the master of the house has locked the door, it will be too late to enter the kingdom. And you will stand outside knocking and pleading, Lord, open the door for us. But he will reply, I don't know you or where you come from. That's a harsh statement, but it's a fact. The master of the house says, I don't know you. I don't even know where you come from. Why are you knocking on my door? Scripture tells us that God shares relationship with individuals. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 3, it tells us who God knows. It said, if anyone loves God, he's known by God. God knows the individual that loves him. And scripture tells us those that love him will keep his commandment. They will treasure it. They will seek to obey their father's instruction. Gospel of John chapter 10 and verse 27 tells us, these are the words of the master himself. He said, my sheep listen to my voice. They're attentive. They listen to the master's voice. They listen to the voice of the good shepherd. He said, I know them and they follow me. Those who God knows listen to his voice and they follow him. And I give them a reward. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. That's the beauty of knowing who God is, of sharing a relationship with him, listening his voice, obeying his commands, loving him, and following him. He said, I give them, I reward them, I grant unto them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one can snatch them away from me, for my Father has given them to me. They belong to me. And he's more powerful than anyone else. No one can snatch them from the Father's hand. They have a relationship with me. They will not move unless I am moving. And they will not listen to a stranger's voice. They only follow me. And they listen to my voice. They are my sheep. I own them. They have submitted themselves to me. Those are the ones that the Master said he has a relationship with. But here in this passage of scripture, Luke tells us that there are some folks who, when the master of the house closed, when he closes the door, they came to the door and they start knocking. They're outside and they're knocking, pleading, "Lord, open the door for us." And he simply replied, "I don't know you. I don't even know where you come from. Are you known of God?" Have you made your reservation with him? Are you simply an attendee in church? Or do you have an existing relationship with him? When the master answered and said, "I don't know you, and I don't know where you come from," he said, "they will say, 'But we ate and drank with you. We were seated at the table with you. We ate with you, Master. We drank with you. And you taught in our streets. We were listeners. We heard you.'" And he will reply, "I tell you, I don't know you or where you come from." The babblings or the attempt to convince God will not guarantee any access to him. The only thing that will count is a relationship with God. Do you know him? Are you known by God? "Get away from me, all you who do evil." We sat with you. We ate with you. And you're telling us that you don't know us. You don't even know where we come from. And now you're banishing us from your presence. Get away from me, all you who do evil. See, in this Christian walk, there are some folks, some of us, we're quite familiar with who Jesus is. But we don't have a relationship. In John 6 and verse 26, Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth. You want to be with me because I fed you. You're not desirous of having a relationship. You like the benefits of being around me. You see it in the world. There's some famous people that are famous for a moment in time. And while they're at the peak or the time that they are famous, you will have a lot of people that surround this individual. And when all the money is spent, when there's nothing else to offer, all the other company desert them. The Bible gives us a good example of the parable of the prodigal son who took his portion from his father's house, left his father's house, went into the city to seek out a life for himself. And when he got there, he used his money to live a lifestyle that attracted a great deal of friends who did not have any relationship with him. They weren't interested in him. All they wanted was what they could have gotten from him, the benefits of being around him. But as soon as the money was all spent, his friends deserted him. Jesus looked on a crowd and he told them, he said, "This is the truth. I know that the only reason that you want to be with me is because I fed you, not because you understood the miraculous signs. The works that I perform did not make a tangible impression upon your hearts. You did not discern the works to see or to know or to understand that such works must be from God." But he said, "But don't be so concerned about perishable things like food." In other words, your mind is in the wrong place. Spend your energy, strive, seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man can give you. Have a relationship with him. Seek for eternal life, not for the gifts or the food that you can get from the Son of Man. "For God has given me the seal of his approval." The Bible tells us that these individuals in the Gospel of Luke said, "Lord, we ate, we drank with you, we were in the midst of your presence. We were at social gatherings. We heard you as you taught in our streets." See, they claim knowledge and intimate familiarity with Jesus' ministry, but they did not have a relationship. They did not receive the seal of his approval. "Master," we were with you. I don't know you. I don't even know where you come from. You see, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, it is not the familiarity with Jesus that counts, but it's the response to the message that he carries. And it's a message of repentance, a message that calls everyone to renounce their sinful habit and to agree with what he commands. Listen, obey, and follow. That's why Jesus made it very clear. He said, if any man will come after me, let him first deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. One master cannot be me and his own will. Verse 28 of Luke tells us, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for you will see Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you will be thrown out. Isn't this terrible? Jesus says, you will see Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you will be thrown out because you reject the message of Jesus. You did not have the proper response to what Jesus required. See, brothers and sisters, these men who sat at the table with Jesus, all they had was an outward contact with him. But outward contact means nothing. It's the inward contact that means everything. The demand, the challenge of the message of Jesus, has it made an impact on your heart? Have you responded in the right way? Luke 6 and verse 46 tells us, Jesus said, why do you keep calling me Lord? Lord, when you don't do what I say. In other words, don't call me Lord if you're not prepared to do what I say. It's senseless. It's aimless. There's no reward or guarantee that you will enter the kingdom if you are not prepared to do what I say. And he begins to paint a picture. He said, I will show you what it's like when someone comes to me, listens to my teachings, and then follows it. The man who wants to have an inward impact. I will show you what it's like. It's like a person building a house who digs deep effort. He's preparing a foundation and lays the foundation. He digs until he finds solid rock. That's the man who comes to me, listens to my teaching, and then follows it. He finds that I'm a solid rock. lays the foundation on the solid rock. When the flood waters rise and break against that house, guaranteed the trouble, the testing, the trials are going to come. He said that it stands firm because it is well built. It's standing on the solid rock. But anyone who hears, they're in the streets, they're listening to what I'm teaching. They sit at the table. They eat with me. They have discussion. But they hear and does not obey is like a person who builds a house right on the ground. He's callous about his building. He treats his the call, the invitation to the kingdom very lightly. He assumes that he is guaranteed that he will access the right to enter on his own terms. So salvation, the call to the kingdom, he treats it as a trivial matter. Shows up in church when he wants to. Does what he feels like doing. And he's not motivated to make every effort to enter. He said that person is like one who builds a house right on top of the ground. I can't bother with digging to find bedrock. I'm just going to lay my foundation right on top of the ground. No effort. I'm just going to act like everyone else. I'm going to build a structure. I don't care about the man who is looking, is digging to find the bedrock. I'm going to put up a structure just like his. But I'm going to put it right on the ground without a foundation. He said, when the floods sweep, the same set of trials is coming. When it sweeps down against that house, it will collapse into a heap of ruin. It will be destroyed because all they had was not a relationship. They were just simply familiar with me. Jesus shows us that once the door is shut, there's no bargaining. When he closes the door, those who are on the inside is on the inside. Those who thought they should be on the inside and find themselves on the outside will have to be prepared to remain on the outside. No amount of bargaining or pleading will allow God to change his mind. It will be impossible. He says, you will see, you'll have a view. You will see Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God. But you will be thrown out. Simply because you assume that you should be included. He said, people come from all over the world, from east and west, north and south, to take their places in the kingdom of God. And note this, some who seem least important now will be the greatest then. You have classified that some of these folks are the least important, but I'm saying to you, they will be the greatest then. And some who are the greatest now will be the least important. Let's look at Luke chapter 14. Verse 15, he tells us another parable of a great feast. Hearing this, a man sitting at the table with Jesus exclaimed, that's hearing what was stated before. He said, what a blessing it will be to attend a banquet in the kingdom of God. Jesus said, you're talking about a banquet. Let me tell you a story. He said, a man prepared a great feast and sent out many invitations. When the banquet was ready, the date, the time arrived for the banquet. He sent his servant to tell the guests, come, the banquet is ready. That means opportunity is now. But they all began making excuses. These are folks that were sent an invitation earlier. They had RSVP, and now the date for the banquet is ready. But they all have excuses. One said, I have just bought a field and must inspect it. I just negotiated. I bought some real estate. And this real estate means it needs me. I have to inspect that property. I can't come to the feast at this time. The banquet is more, the property is more important than the feast. Please excuse me. Another said, I have just bought 5 pairs of oxen. He's a farmer. And I want to try them out. Couldn't you try them out next time? Couldn't you inspect the field after the banquet or at another date? He said, I just bought 5 oxen and I want to try them out. Please excuse me. Another said, I just got married, so I can't come. He didn't even ask to be excused. He's allowing the master to know, I won't be there. I just got married. There's something here that's more important than turning up to a banquet. Servant returned and told his master what they had said. His master was furious and said, go quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and invite the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. After the servant has done this, he reported, there is still room for more. So an invitation is made to those who were never given an invitation before. And they all responded, they came. A Servant said, there's still room for more. So the master said, go out into the country lanes and behind the hedges and urge anyone you find to come. Anyone. It's an open door to this banquet. Tell them, anyone who wants to come, come. The master bids them, come. So that the house will be full. For none of those I first invited will get even the smallest taste of my banquet. Anyone. The ministry of Jesus is the final act of God's dealing with mankind. Outside of Jesus, any man who does not respond to the message of Jesus lives in condemnation. Doesn't matter who you thought you were. These two parables allow us to know that even a connection as it relates to race, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob will not guarantee you entrance into the kingdom of God. The only way a man can enter is responding positively to the word or to the message of Jesus Christ. Jesus says, if you want to be my disciple, this is after the parable. There are other things that were more important. A piece of real estate, 5 oxen, man who just married his wife. I can't turn up. He's talking to the crowd now and said, I want you to understand the cost of following me. You better weigh it in the balance. Because these men signed up for the banquet, but when the date arrived, they did not respond. They had excuses. Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, if you want to enter into my kingdom, you must by comparison hate everyone else. And that word hate means love less. It's priority. He said, you must hate your father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters. Yes, even your own life. You got to wrestle. You got to strive. You will see some things that you want to do with your life here in this world. But I'm telling you, if you want to be my disciple, what I say is what counts. He said, otherwise, you cannot be my disciple. If I am not first priority, you cannot be my disciple. And if you do not carry your own cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciples. Hello? We're anxious at times to get people into the pool, to baptize them. But listen what Jesus is saying. He said, Are you attracted to this ministry? Are you attracted to my teachings? Listen to what I have to say. Don't begin until you count the cost. Don't begin until you count the cost. The highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide for many who choose that way. But the gate to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult. Don't begin until you count the cost. For who would begin construction of a building without first calculating the cost to see if there is enough money to finish it? Otherwise, you might complete only the foundation before running out of money, and then everyone would laugh at you. What is the sense of having this design of a great building and not having the resources to build it? What is the sense in even breaking ground to lay out the foundation and you know you don't have the money to finish it? You must count the costs. Think about it before you decide and follow me. The opportunity, the call is here, but you have to think about it before you follow. He said, I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners unto repentance. There are some folks who assume that everything is okay. And they assume that their names are written in the Lamb's book of life. Jesus said, I come to call sinners to repentance. I come for those who are lost, those who want to have a relationship with me, and they must strive to enter. They must strive to enter into my kingdom. 2 Peter chapter 1. Peter said, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him. That's through a relationship with Jesus. The one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. That's to individuals who form a relationship with Jesus. So these are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. So in view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. The Christian man has got to exert himself. He has got to make effort to respond to God's promises. Every possible effort. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence. The character of the Christian is the character of Jesus. And moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance. And patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. So the more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sins. So, dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen. A relaxed attitude will not guarantee you entrance into God's kingdom. He said, if you do these things, you will never fall away. And God will give you a grand entrance into eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you do these things, that's making every effort to respond to God's promises. These things supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence. That comes through a relationship. That comes with spending time in prayer. That comes with fasting, yes. That comes with pain, with afflicting oneself. Hallelujah. That comes, my God, he said, with moral excellence, with knowledge. Studying the word of the living God, because you can only know God by what he reveals himself in his word. You can't know God by going to your bed and just trying to dream. You got to read the word. And knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance. Trials will come. Pain. Various situations will arise. But the Christian man must know how to suffer. How to be patient. With godliness and brotherly affection, love for everyone. So then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, striving to enter. Colossians 1 and verse 29, Paul writes to us, he said, for this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. Whatever God impart in me, I make use of it. He said, I toil. I struggle. Because I know that I want to make it in. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 11 said, when you, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 11 said, let us therefore strive, make effort to enter that rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. Got to strive. First Corinthians chapter 9:24 says, do you not know that in a race, all the runners are running? They all are running, but only one receives the prize. So the Christian man, run that you may obtain it. Don't treat it trivial. Don't take on a relaxed attitude. He said, every athlete exercises self-control in all things. He pays attention to his training. He pays attention to what he puts in his body, what he eats. He said, they do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Our price, our reward cannot be corrupted. It won't perish. So Paul said, so I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control. My body will not dictate to me how I live, what I do. It is what Jesus commands that will become my lifestyle. He said, I do that, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. Lord, let me in. Lord, I ate with you. I sat at the table. I heard you teaching. Lord, I perform all these miracles using your name. Jesus says, I do not know you. I don't even know where you're from. Church, I want to speak to every member, everyone that's listening, including my own self. Do you have a relationship with Jesus? Is your name written there? Or are you just simply familiar with Jesus? Are you attracted to the church? Or are you attracted to the ministry of Jesus? Is it because of the pastor? Is it because of the social setting? Or are your eyes focused on Jesus? Do you believe that there's going to be a final moment in time when the opportunity that we have now will no longer exist? Are you busy working on the trivial things and paying no attention to your relationship with God? You enjoy the eating. You don't mind hearing his teaching. He said, depart from me, you workers of evil. The miracles, the signs that they perform using the name of the Lord. He said, you are lawless, workers of iniquity. You don't obey my commands. You took my label and made a name for yourself. I don't know you. You never spend time listening to me. I don't know you. Depart from me. In closing, let's look on Revelation chapter 15, chapter 20, rather, verse 11. For some folks don't believe, they believe that time will be forever. Some are like the Sadducees, they don't believe in a resurrection. Well, let's hear. John said he saw a great white throne and the one sitting on it. The earth and sky fled from his presence. They could not stand the presence of the one sitting on the throne. Thank you, Jesus. They fled from his presence, but they found no place to hide. He fills the universe. Makotosha. He said, I saw the dead, both great and small, standing before God's throne. The dead. Great and small, standing before God's throne. He said, and the books were open, including the book of life. And the dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. Hello. He's writing. He's recording every act, every deed, everything, every statement in his book. John said, the sea gave up its dead, and death and the grave gave up their dead. All were judged according to their deeds. Then death and grave were thrown into the lake of fire. I'm not here to scare you. There's a place called hell. It's a lake of fire. And I'm not here to scare you, because Jesus said, every man must count the cost before he decides that he's going to follow Jesus. This lake of fire is the second death, and anyone whose name was not found recorded in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. God is no respecter of persons. Only those who fear him, only those persons' name will be written in the book of life. He You call yourself Abraham's children. If you were Abraham's children, you'll be excited. You'll be happy to see what I'm doing. You'll do the works of Abraham. Jesus said, but you are children of the devil. You're not Abraham's children. Abraham, he saw my days. Before Abraham, I am. He saw my days and rejoiced. But your father is the devil. A biological connection with Abraham won't guarantee you entrance into the kingdom. You reject Jesus, you crucify him. Now he's resurrected. He calls his apostles. He said, go out into the highways, into the byways. Call Paul. Commission him to the Gentiles. Send him across this globe. And those who were considered lost, the refused, the rejected, they were granted entrance into God's kingdom. The question is, this morning, this afternoon, brothers, sisters, ladies, gentlemen, is your name written there? Do you have a relationship with Jesus? Or are you just familiar with him? Connection with a righteous parent or relative or friend cannot guarantee you entrance. You must be clothed in the garment that's required for the banquet. You cannot enter on your own terms. One door, one gate is narrow, and it's a difficult road, and few be there that find it. And make sure that you're walking on the narrow path. Make sure that we're striving, brothers and sisters. Effort is made, not self-righteousness, but whatsoever God puts in us, because it is him that worketh in us. Whatsoever he's doing on the inside, we've got to agree and use it to the best of our abilities, that we may enter into that rest. Lift your hands everywhere. It's a time for us to reflect. It's a time for us to think about the call that God has placed on our lives. Or are you just simply excited about the position in the assembly? But the position will not guarantee you entrance. You've got to have. We have got to have a relationship. Lord, help me. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.